Hello, my magical friends. My name's Ayumi. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and you're listening to Sparkle Side Chats with Magical Girl Ayu. Whether it's your first or 183rd time listening, we welcome you to our space to celebrate magical girls from every corner of the world. We have a lot of news, and I've watched some things, and then we'll get to today's topic. So let's get started. First, some release news. So we have Magilumier Volume 11 now out in Japan. So, of course, this is a series that is getting adapted later this year in the fall. And we also are getting some English releases as well. So I believe at this point you can only just get Volume 1 in English and in Spanish. But there should be more to come. Next is a newer series. You're Banished. The Banished One was not me, but the Silent Magical Girl, which is a fantasy series. I know pretty much nothing about this, but Volume 1 is out of that comic. Next, if you recall a while back, we did have news of Magical Girl Regina Lena, which is a spinoff of the series 86. Originally, it was a light novel series, kind of. Well, there was a story that was published that was just prose in their latest Blu-ray release of a sort. I am not familiar with this series, so I don't really know in detail about it, but apparently it was very popular, and so they have now created a comic of it, and Volume 1 is now out. And then if you were waiting for any news about Magical Maiden Mimi, we got a little bit of an update. This was originally a Kickstarter, of course. We were campaigning on it as well here. But we did get the news that the pre-order for the comic, if you do not already contribute, will be today as of this recording. So yes, April 9th, go ahead and get that. A link will be in the show notes so you can go and sign up for that pre-order. And then we've talked about this series before, Magical Girl 201. This is the story about the magical villain who finds out that her next door neighbor is a magical girl. She tries to secretly befriend this girl, but gets into a whole lot of shenanigans that involve sexualizing her a lot. She's an adult, so it's okay. I have to specify that, sadly. It's been going strong, and now Volume 1 in print will be available as well. In video game news, we have some new games and some returning games. Witchroidvania is now available to pre-save, I think, on Steam. There's also a newer series that's called The Witch Trials of the Magical Girls. So this is an indie game for the Switch that is about, I think it's also for PC, and it's about 13 magical girls who are locked in a death game. So that should be interesting. And last but certainly not least, the 2000s Sega Dreamcast game Rainbow Cotton, which is a fantasy game in which you play a magical girl, is being re-released for, I believe, PC and some other consoles. It will be released internationally for the first time in a whole bunch of languages, so that's really exciting. And then in Winx news, the latest Winx Club news is the musical Winx Forever. So they've been doing a lot to celebrate the 20th anniversary this year. And so they have continued to do that by giving us a new musical. So this is, of course, in Italy and is actually surrounding the third season of Winx Club, which is an interesting choice. But I guess it is just the most iconic season from what I understand. And speaking of the stage, we got some very exciting news from Precure, which is that Dancing Star Precure is going to come back in 2025, February and March to be specific. This will be their second running. Now, some people are running with the idea that it is a sequel. It's not quite clear what the details are. I think it's fair to assume, but they don't actually say. So just for the record, in case it turns out it's just a a retelling of the original story. But yes, they announced that as the Blu-rays are coming out for the first run of Dancing Star, which again was amazing. And in case you're wondering, hey, where is that episode about Dancing Star? That is something I am hoping to work on soon. I'm very sorry about not being able to do any bonus episodes yet this year. But yes, so that's super exciting. And of course, I'm going to make sure that I get a seat for that show as well. And last but not least, we got the news of Himitsu no Ai pre-getting a simulcast officially, but only in Spanish, which is a very interesting choice. So as of this recording, you know, episode one has come out. I have not watched it yet because that will be a bonus episode. I just said I'm not doing those as much, but this is one that I can do, just like I did for Wonderful Precure. And I am looking forward to that, so I hope you are as well. But yes, there are fan subs available that are coming out in various languages. But officially speaking, it is not being subtitled in English, which is really disappointing because Watcher Primaji did get an official subtitle in on High Dive, I believe. So yeah, that is that's sad, but there we go. Now let's move on to what I've been watching and reading. So of course, Magical Girl Aiko finished up with the final episode, and it was kind of a not necessarily a bummer. It was like, so I guess spoiler alert for the show, but Aiko finds out that she's been tricked this whole time by her mascot. She proceeds to murder him in front of everyone, and then they all get blown up by the missile anyway. And yeah, it was a rather short episode. And that's it. There was no, like, message or anything, really. Nothing to be gleaned. It was just a thing that happened. So yeah, I guess there you go. I might do a bonus episode on it sometime. It definitely doesn't feel like the kind of show that deserves its full, a full episode. I'm not sure. I'll have to think on that, but yeah, so that happened. All episodes can be watched now on YouTube. I also did get to enjoy is a strong word. I watched a live stream with a VTuber that talked to Classroom Jack, who is the main writer behind the series, and yeah, I didn't necessarily get any interesting information except that her name was almost Hotaru, which was an interesting option. So yeah, let's move on to Wonderful Precure, which has been super exciting. Every week is a tearjerker, unsurprisingly, and I'm just having an amazing time. Mayu is definitely the most hashtag me precure that has ever existed, and I knew I would be excited by, like, crafting in Precure, but it's like really, it's more than I expected, so I'm really pumped about it. And you know, things are continuing to be great, and I'm really looking forward to what's coming up in this month from the episode titles that we have out. I'm trying to be as vague as possible because those are technically not, like, you know, published for mass consumption, but anyway. Finally, I did finish watching something, surprise surprise. As you all know, I am going to be interviewing the staff of the reboot of Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders, which is coming out in May. So obviously look forward to that episode as well. But in preparation for it, I have been watching the original series. So I finished season one. Each season is 13 episodes. So that's not like a lot, I suppose. But yeah, I was taking my time, and it was interesting. I'm still in the middle of season two, which I am also enjoying, but the show is, you know, like, I think, I guess, animation-wise, it does leave a little bit to be desired, but it's kind of, like, normal for the time, so that's fine. But the vibes are really good. I think it's a really interesting concept, and I definitely understand why this would have been so popular for kids at the time. It's just, like, one of those shows that just barely missed me just because of my age and when I came to the U.S. and stuff, but yeah, it is, like, so interesting. I don't know if I have a favorite character, per se. They all have their flaws. But, yeah, it was definitely a good time. And I'm looking forward to finishing up season two. So with that, I think it's time to move on to today's topic. All right, so we are back in the 90s this week, back to a formerly discussed season of television. We are going to be talking about the second half of Hime-chan's Ribbon today. I am so excited. This was such a fun ride. This show is so great. And I was really delighted to have on a returning guest. So, of course, you already know Sasha Lalabelle. She has been on for several other shows. And she is a longtime Magical Girl fan, big time appreciator of the genre. So it's always great to have her back on as a regular. But she was, especially attached to the show. So it was really great to hear her perspective and have fun revisiting the first half a tiny bit at the beginning and then getting into all the madness of the second half as we get into new items and so on. And this show is a little odd in a lot of ways, so for that we do have to give a little bit of a warning that there is kidnapping. We discuss death, though it doesn't technically happen in the second half, I guess. And we also discuss some brainwashing / gaslighting. And there is a little bit of a case of generally anti-Soana region folks' racism. It can't be just specifically anti-Arab because it's not even that specific, but yes, there you go. There's also some fat phobia in the same episode, actually. So there's that. If you, are sensitive to those topics, I understand. But otherwise, please enjoy this chat about the second half of Hime-chan's Ribbon with Sasha Lalabelle.
So we are here to talk about the second half of Hime-chan's Ribbon from 1992 to 1993. And I'm so delighted to have on a returning guest. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. It's me, Sasha Bell. I am so excited to talk about this series. I've been such a big fan of this one since I was, since I first started watching Magical Girls when I was in elementary school. So
awesome. Yeah, I can imagine, because it is it's one that like never got officially released, mm-hmm. at least in the US, it's hard to find fans.
Yeah. It's really sad because, like, I think it's a series that could resonate with a lot of people. It's a very down-to-earth and real series. And so it's pretty sad that it never really came over to the U.S. or just overseas. I always say U.S. because I'm in the U.S., but that's very U.S.-centric of me.
No, that's fair. It's your experience. Before we get into that, what have you been enjoying in the genre since your last time on the podcast?
Oh my goodness. So I've been kind of on a kick again. I've been watching a lot of stuff. I just finished watching the first season of Nanoha and Nanoha A's, which I actually never watched before. And I really, really enjoyed that. Then I took a break to rewatch Hime-chan's Ribbon for the podcast. I've been watching Pretty Cure every week. Oh my god, it's been amazing. I am on the last episode of Healer Girl, which Ooh. I've just fallen in love with. Absolutely. Oh, yes. Fallen in love with.
I'm glad you approve because I know how you are about singing.
Oh my goodness, yes. No, like this is one of the few shows that I've watched where like they have like everyone gasping at how beautiful the voices are. And I was like, oh my God, I agree. Like your voices are incredible. Very good. I've also started reading Acro Trip, which is just a delight in every way.
Yes.
And then I've been catching up with Magi Lumiere and it's Magi Lumiere and goodness, what's the name of it? The one that's in It's also on Shonen Jump Plus. Tsubasa, Magical Girl Tsubasa.
Oh, Tsubame, yes.
Tsubame, thank you. That one's a newer one, and so it's like only got a few chapters, so I still don't remember everything off the top of
Fair,
my head,
fair.
but it's so good.
It's very strange.
It's
It's
so strange. Like,
very strange.
it's one of those shows that if it got picked up, I really would hope that Shaft would pick it up, because I do really good with the weird, like,
Sure.
surreal backgrounds and stuff.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I think they would kill it.
Very fair, yes. It's definitely a weirder one, but it's really interesting for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting in a lot of ways because it's like, I kind of feel like it's trying to do a lot of the stuff that more of the adult magical girls tend to go for. But it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't feel super like edgy. It just feels like, yeah, we're trying to do things that are a bit thematically more mature.
Yeah, it's I mean, even just the premise and everything is like very, huh? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I really love, like, God, there's so much to like about that, but I don't wanna like gush about Tsubame too much while we're on the Hime-chan
Sure.
podcast. But yeah, there's like the art style, the lettering, like even the localization does a really good job with editing the lettering as well, to make it so that like whenever she uses her like her beams, quote unquote. Where she's like, don't mess with my friend Beam. And the words come out of her mouth as a beam to attack them. Whoever it is who's working on the lettering is doing a phenomenal job of making that work in English as well.
That's great to know. Yeah, I'm really happy that that one is also so readily available in English. Let's pray for AfroTrip to get localized. I really think it needs
Oh,
it.
fingers crossed. It's so good. AfroTrip is just such a delight. I love the character so much. It's like, if you like failure characters, you're gonna love AfroTrip.
That's a great way to put it.
Like, Date is such a girl fail, and like, she thinks she understands things. She thinks she's very like together and collected and calm, but she's so stupid. I love her.
Yes. It's very interesting to see. I mean, I would, also say Chroma is a bit of a girl fail, even though Chroma's not a girl.
Yes. Oh God, the part where I keep like getting on tangents, but the part where he stands up to the store robber really got me.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. Such a weird. It's so good. And I want more people to read it, but it's just like not even translated by fans. It's like, what's going on? It's such a
Like,
tiny
please, I'm begging you guys. It's such a good series.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, let's get into
Yes,
Hime-chan's
that's enough tangents for now. There's
Ribbon.
so much, like, it's such a good time to be a Magical Girl fan. There's so much good stuff coming out, and
Yes, definitely. Yes. So yeah, for any listeners who haven't gotten to listen our first half conversation, which was also very good, you should go listen if you haven't. But
definitely do that.
just to summarize the first half of the series, so Hime-chan's Ribbon stars Himeko Nonohara, who is a pretty normal seventh grader who, one day gets approached by a girl who looks exactly like her but is a lot more feminine, and it turns out that she is actually the princess of the magical world named Erika, and as her own like kind of magical research assignment, she has to make sure that this magical ribbon that she invented works. And to do that, she has to give it to the girl who looks exactly like her in the human world for a full year. When she puts it on, her own like very, very precious stuffed animal, Pokuta, comes to life and becomes her little mascot throughout the show. And the ribbon has a very simple function, which is she can use it to turn into anyone she wants. There is a time limit. If she does not turned back into herself within the time limit, she will be forced to be in that form forever. So she has to be careful. But, you know, she uses it pretty much immediately for all kinds of shenanigans. You know, there's a lot of, like, I don't want to say necessarily like a reference to, but like there's a lot of nods to older magical girls in this show. So this is definitely like an Akko-chan sort of thing as well. You know, her first kind of whole little mini story is involving her crush and her older sister, who she realizes like each other. And so she helps them to get together. And then she gets into a lot of shenanigans with the boy at school, who at first is very rude to her. yeah. Daichi Kobayashi. But, you know, over time, they end up kind of growing close, especially because he's the only person who finds out about her secret. And at first, it like seems like she'll be in trouble for it, but they decide to make an exception because of reasons. But yeah.
Well, they gotta.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in the show in general. But it is helpful for her to be able to, you know, talk to someone about things and all that. And they end up, you know, like sharing the secret hideout. We later get the appearance of Sei, who is actually from the magic world. I don't know why he's allowed to show up on Earth, but sure. So he disguises himself as another student, and he's supposed to be Erica's like fiance. She doesn't seem to be very interested in that, but he has a crush on Himiko and is very open about it.
Mm-hmm. Obnoxiously so.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, it's good on him for being bold, but he needs to learn that no means no.
Well, yes. Initially it was because his cousin put him up to asking her out on a date.
Right.
So like when he first showed up, he was like not supposed to be on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
He was just doing it because he's like, oh, I really want that. I think it was ramen.
Yes, yes.
So it was like, if you can ask Himiko out on a date, or if you can get a date in the human world or whatever, then I'll treat you for this ramen. Initially, he was really into her because of that. And then she kicked his lights out because he did something really awful to them.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently kicking his lights out made him actually fall in love with her.
Yes, I mean, there is definitely a whole balance of her personality and like, you know, what it means to be a girl and like girly versus boyish and all of that, because, you know, it starts with like Daichi always calling her a boy and stuff because mm-hmm. she has short hair. It's like very, it's not good at first, but like, you know, it's like a thing where it's like they, you know, there's character development over time. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of nonsense involving Himino Hikaru, she's like madly in love with Daichi. She has the Daichi, she's a leader of the Daichi fan club at school, which is not something like he's necessarily a fan of, but she also is just like very convinced that the two of them are going to be together someday. So she finds Himiko to be a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gets really ridiculous. She's also very suspicious of her because she's able to kind of notice weird things going on because she's so like laser focused on her. So there's a lot of like stuff about that. There's a whole thing that involves SMAP, but not really.
They're like, look, we got the rights to SMAP. We're going to use it as much as we can.
Yeah, I still don't understand how that happened. But SMAP is very heavily involved in this show, not just because they sing the opening and endings, but they appear in this episode where it's not actually them. It's Himiko disguised as each of them at different times.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to lead to some of the later shenanigans with Hikaru. And yeah, eventually it comes to the point where, you know, she like Hikaru figures out what's going on and decides to try to prove it, because she's very convinced that like if she, you know, divulges or like makes public Himiko's secret, that she will become famous. We see her imaginings of all these things. That's why she just keeps doing this the whole show.
Yeah, she's certainly a character.
Yes, yes. But then it gets to a point where, you know, Himiko disguises herself as Hikaru and almost gets caught. Erika jumps in, even though she's not supposed to be on Earth. She couldn't stop herself from like butting into the situation. So she comes in, they try to fix things, but in this very, very intense situation, they get her stuck in Hikaru's body, and she can't change back until she dies, which, well, she does.
It's
She,
very intense.
yes. So what happens is Eriga disguises herself as Himeko for a while because, again, they look like the same. She cuts her hair. But during this, there's an incident where she's almost hit by a truck, and so Himeko jumps out of the way, jumps in the way, and like pushes her away and all that. And so, yes, she dies. And because she dies, she's able to turn back into herself. And then Eriga's father, the king of the magic world, brings her back to life in exchange for some of Erica's own life, which is like, yeah, again, this is like very heavy.
It's very intense, and it's one of those, like, so something that I'm gonna probably talk a little bit about is that the anime follows along with the manga pretty well. There's just like little tweaks here and there, usually because of like seasons. So like there's one point where in the manga they go on a summer camp, but because it was airing in like January, they made it a ski trip.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah, that was one of the situations where they changed it for the anime because in the manga they went like hiking in some area or something, and in it, like a rock is about to fall on Erica,
Oh, yeah.
and Hime pushes her out of the way, and the rock is what kills her. So it was just another one of those situations where it's like, okay, this was changed because of the seasons, but also I can't help but feel like maybe it was a little homage to Minky Momo.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, it has a lot of references to like older magical girl stuff. And so when she gets hit by a truck, I was just like, are they trying to do a bit with the Minky Momo thing?
Yeah, it does feel kind of like a reference. Like, obviously, for plot reasons, the death is important, but it's also like, oh, yeah, they could have chosen a lot of other things, but they chose a truck. So that, yeah. So there's that. And yeah, we should also mention that as stuff continues on, they also bring us new items. So Hime doesn't just have her ribbon, she gets to use more things because that means she gets more toys for kids to buy. Yeah, so yeah, after a while she gets a hold of this the magic palette, which gives her the ability to duplicate herself. She creates a double. The double is interesting because the double isn't quite the same as her. She's like more feminine than Himiko
Yes.
usually is. Yeah.
She's so polite.
Yeah. So usually when she interacts with people are like, wow, Himiko's acting kind of weird today, but okay. Yeah. And again, eventually, Daichi doesn't know at first about it, but eventually he does find out. And so he's the only one, again, who knows about that ability. But it helps out a lot because she can duplicate herself and then transform into someone else and run around and do stuff. Yeah. Basically to avoid getting in trouble, I guess.
Usually,
Yes.
because most of the time it's her getting in trouble in some way.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, it's very nice. We also get some episodes where they go to back to the magic world and get to meet other characters who just happen to, again, look exactly like people in Himiko's life. And also we get to meet Pink that way, who is Pocota's little love interest, who is very cute as well.
She's the cutest thing ever.
Yes. We get another little mini arc with Daichi's childhood friend. And yeah, I don't have a lot to say about that. That's I think is like necessarily important to the whole show, except that it gives us the second kidnapping episode of the series.
God, they have so much kidnapping in this show. Like, it is so weird.
The first one having been Daichi's younger brother, Shintaro. And that was like, okay, and then the second one happens, and I'm like, wait, really? But then, yeah. A lot of things are very episodic in this show. So getting to the second half, there's not really any actual plot divide between the first and second half, but they do change the opening song and stuff. Like it's as far as the opening like animation, et cetera. And then they change the ending song. So there is like some like technical changes, but like the plot just kind of keeps moving forward. Camille, who is the duplicate, the magical version of Daichi, who is also like naughty, but like differently so.
Yeah, he's like brainy naughty.
Which is an interesting dig on Daichi, but sure. And then yeah, but he comes to Earth also for kind of similar shenanigans as Sei originally did, right? Where just like playing pranks on kids, making everyone think that he is Daichi, and then like just asking out all the girls and stuff. And it's just like it's a lot of nonsense. There's some cute, I'm trying to think of like what are some good episodes in the second half here. But before we get into them, can you let us know what your history, like you've kind of already mentioned it a little bit before, but your history with this franchise is?
So I first discovered it around the same time that I was really into Sailor Moon. So this was like elementary school, back when we had to find like fan subs on like real player files, and they were like, like super low quality and all that. And I watched the first couple of episodes and I absolutely fell in love because, growing up, I was a bit of a tomboy. I wasn't like athletic kind of tomboy, but I definitely was one of those girls who wasn't super interested in a lot of the quote unquote feminine stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with any of that. But watching it, I was just like, oh my gosh, I totally relate to Hime. Oh, I really relate to Hime. And so I was so upset that I could only find like the first couple of episodes. It's very nice that now it's so much easier to get a hold of pretty much anything that you want to. So, yeah, I was able to find the rest of it, and I mean, that's history.
I think what you said is like so true. Like, I think honestly, a lot more girls are like at least a little bit tomboyish, right? So Himiko is a very relatable character, right? Like, she's, I mean, her name is like so incredibly girly. Like, the
Yeah,
whole
like
all the kids are in that little family. So she has to deal with like all these normal societal pressures of like what it means to be girly. Well, she just wants to be herself, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I think something that really resonated with me is that, like, despite it kind of starting with her being like, oh, I wish I could be like my older sister. She's so feminine. She's so amazing, blah, blah, blah. The overarching, like, theme of Hime-chan's Ribbon is not necessarily like telling Hime how to be a girl. More that it is like about learning to love yourself for who you are rather than who you wish you were. And that is such a good lesson for kids of any age, of any gender. It's such a good lesson.
Yeah, for sure. I think so. I think it's very clear, especially early on. She feels a lot of things about like, like just general jealousy of her older sister Aiko for being so girly, right? And like so much that like ideal Japanese girl in so many ways. And she definitely feels like, well, I'm not good enough, I'm not all these things enough because of that. And so she kind of learns a lot from getting to disguise herself as her sister and also Himiko's crush, Hasakura, at the beginning. And those two end up like together and are a unit for the rest of the show, though they do have their own later episodes. And we should mention that like in the second half there are a lot of clip show episodes.
There sure
So
are.
yeah, I was really surprised that there were so many, because like I get it, but also like, oh wow, there's a lot. But at the same time, it was like very helpful because there was a huge gap between me watching the first half and the second half, and I was like, wow, that really did go down, didn't it? So yeah, very helpful for people watching at home to like, kind of catch up with like, wow, here's all the things that happened this whole year. And so now, according to the original lore, Himiko only has this ribbon for a year, and then she of course gets the palette later, and then she gets another item, and we'll get to those episodes too. But there is that like year timeline, but there are 61 episododes, which is so interesting.
It's like, gosh, how did that happen?
Yeah, because the 1 year kind of limit is very like old school Magical Girl as well. Like, of course, the very, very old series, Sally and Akko, they just kind of kept going and going and going for as long as it was allowed, but with shows like the Studio Pierrot ones, those have the 1 year time limit that's like in baked into the premise. Do you have anything to say about like the kind of earlier episodes before we get into the fairies?
So there, we were talking a little bit about the episodes with Yuka, and I was expecting to really not like that whole arc. But the way that it concluded was so wholesome and so sweet that I was just like, this is the best thing I've ever seen, actually. And I adore this.
Yes, yes.
I love that rather than it being, you know, like this recurring love triangle thing and how she was being mean to Hime because she was jealous of Hime and Daichi. I like how it was less about her relationship with Daichi and more like, I feel like I'm being replaced. I feel like I don't have a place in this world anymore. And like having Hime be the one to kind of like help her out of that and be like, no, you can, you have the power to be, to make friends again. And like, I'm not taking anybody's place. You're still you. You just have to believe in yourself kind of thing. Oh, yeah. I really liked that arc. That arc was so special.
Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth because, like, Yuka was very threatened by Himiko. It was like, like, I was definitely also personally very upset with the whole thing with the school play. But yeah, like, no matter what, Himiko would still, like, refuse to actually, like, let it get to her to a point where she was, like, causing problems for her or anything. She's just, like, so good. She is just so good. So.
She's such a sweetheart. And then, like I said, like, when they revealed that it's like, I'm not just upset with you because of Daichi. The fact that it was like, oh, I feel like I'm being replaced. That's a very relatable thing that I think a lot of kids can understand. I mean, even just like as if you're a kid and your mom's about to have a baby or something, you get a little freaked out like, oh, God, am I being replaced? So it's like having it be less about the romance, which obviously is very important for this story, but having it not as focused necessarily on just her romance with Daichi, but having it just be about that feeling of I'm being replaced, I think was a very smart move on the director's part.
Yeah, I thought it was very good. In general, there's a lot of stuff going on with like friendships and of course like we say romance, like nothing actually happens between Himiko and Daichi, but like it's like a just a constant throughout where it's like, yeah, it's a kind of like a will they won't they thing. It's like very clear that there's something there. And you know, we mostly just see Himiko's side of like her trying to figure out her own feelings and stuff, especially because we saw at the beginning of the series they were not friends at all.
He's just a weird dude who likes to roller skate in school.
So it was very interesting to see that. Again, the character development in this show is so solid. I did want to point out before we get to the fairies episode, episode 35, where Himiko finds a lost puppy.
Oh, that episode was so sweet.
Yes. It's a very like kind of heartbreaking episode because we see her doing what she thinks is right regarding this little dog, even though we find out like, yeah, it's like very clear, you know, the dog has a collar and everything, though the name is worn away. So she thinks the dog's name is Pochi at first. And then they later find out that it's actually Hikaru's own dog named Daichi, which is like, girl, what are you doing?
She is so weird. She's such a weird girl.
But like this dog is also clearly very important to her. And, you know, there's this feeling of like, well, you know, she doesn't like this girl right at all, but she's got to do the right thing and like bring the dog back. It's just like a very interesting episode of seeing like her trying to do what's right and it not necessarily being right. Yeah, and so I thought it was a good learning episode for her.
Yeah, that episode was one of those that just really got me. Like, I don't know. Anytime that they bring animals into something, I'm automatically going to be like a complete teary mess.
Sure.
Which is why Wonderful Pretty Cure is destroying me right now.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Yes. It's a very sweet little episode. And I think also pets in general are very relatable to a lot of kids. So I mean, that's a factor. We get to an interesting episode after that. That is part of the Hasekura and Aiko arc where she gets the idea from other rumors that, Hasekura is like cheating on her sister and she's very upset about it. And her sister's also upset about it. Turns out that like this blonde lady, this is like some an American that's like helping him learn English. But it's like it's yeah, it was just an interesting little thing and just kind of plot relevant, so you have to mention it. But then things get really wild because they need to give us another item.
Which I should note,
Yeah.
like some of the items that we have, the ribbon, is one that's in the manga. I don't recall the palette being part of the manga, but
Yeah, I don't think so.
I know for a fact that the wand was not a part of the manga.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because like everything about the design of this item that we're gonna get into is just like, yeah, that's just a toy.
Yep.
It's so cute.
Yeah, so at this point, Himeko has her ribbon and she also has the palette and then she has a book that she also got with this like kind of magic quill that she and Erika can use to communicate with each other because at the beginning of the series they couldn't communicate because Erika couldn't come to the human world, so it would cause a lot of problems where like she knew the answer to things but she like couldn't tell her anything. And so once they have this, they write in the book to each other and they can actually like basically they write letters to each other. And so they, their friendship also develops from that. And it's also just a nice pen, obviously also a toy. But
Of
yes,
course.
so then some stuff happens with Camille, of course. Who else?
Of course, it's Camille.
Him sneaking a girl away into the storage area, which then unlocks or like reveals this little thing that turned out to be like a kind of mini prison for these two fairies who are like very, very just they're troublemakers, right? They're very prankstery, kind of like a traditional pixie in a way, I guess you could say. And so
And most of
they
it's voiced by Agumon.
that's
Which,
interesting.
yeah, as soon as it started talking, I'm like, oh, that's Agumon, isn't
So they float away. They play some pranks in the magic world, but then they go to Earth and they start playing some pranks there. Their names are Mashi and Hoshi, by the way, and they also are invisible to the naked eye, which is not helpful when you're trying to catch them.
Yes.
Yes, so they cause a lot of trouble. In particular, the main thing being that they, oh goodness, through a series of weird events, they have used their prankstery ways to make it look like Hikaru is suddenly an amazing soccer player. It's a very weird, but yes, because of that, they find that the only person maybe who can actually deal with this is Himeko herself. So the magic world asks her to, they give her a little bit of extra power and they say, you please, please, please capture these guys because they are causing so much trouble. And so yeah, it's a two episode like just a whole mess of a story. There's like just so much trouble everywhere. I mean, it's very fun and ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a whole thing about making like the proper pancakes or something for
Yes. Making the proper pancakes and also including like a serum that like attracts them extra hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like their favorite ingredients.
Yeah, part of the problem is that there is their ability to stop time, right? It makes it really, really hard for them to capture them because they can't freeze time, only these fairies can. But they do eventually capture them and they get imprisoned into Himeko's own items. So one of them goes into the palette and now gives her the ability to either turn back time a little bit or freeze time altogether. And then the other one goes into the quill pen, which causes it to fly around. So now it's kind of a useful, handy toy for that reason, which is neat.
It's so wild because like they introduce these adorable little fairies, and when I was watching it, I was like, surely these guys are gonna stick around. And I mean, they do technically, but we never see them again till the very end.
Yeah. So It's just like, okay, so their powers are being utilized by the magical girl as a form of imprisonment, which is so interesting because this also happens in Doremi later on in the 90s. But like, it's just like, why is this a plot point where you imprison a magical creature into an item that is actually a toy? It's like, what a message. But in any case, in that case, we get some new abilities, which is helpful. So now she can not only change herself into whoever she wants, she can also duplicate herself once. And now she has the time powers, which are very helpful. The time powers also reminded me a lot of Mama's a Fourth Grader because there's a lot of stuff with that, which I think you should watch, by the way. I think you might appreciate it.
I'm almost certain I would.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff, but yes.
I think anytime that you go into, like, regardless of what this series is, a lot of the times, like, when you go into some of the older Magical Girl series, you're gonna run into, like, at least, like, one unsavory thing, unfortunately. But
For
that's
sure.
just the nature of time.
Yeah. So there's some interesting stuff like as things continue with that. I do want to point out episode 41, which is very, very cute because this is the episode where Daichi's brother and Himeko's younger sister end up becoming friends finally. Because like basically Himeko met Shintaro as Yumeko, little Yumeko. And so he thought he knew her. But then when they see each other in public and he's like, Yumi-chan, Yumiko, she's like, I don't know who you are. And he's very hurt by it. They had both gone to see this kind of like stage show that was a little scary. And so we find out that like Yumiko has wet the bed. She's very embarrassed about it, of course, but it's a secret between her and her mom. And then when Himeko describes the situation, explains what happened to Daichi, they're like, okay, let's have them meet like properly. I'm sure things will work out. And at first it's like super awkward because of course it is like, it's like, why are our big brother and big sister trying to insist on us hanging out after we had this really weird like interaction? And then they both realize that they both experience the same thing of having wet the bed the night before and bond over it and have a little adventure, the two of them. It's very, very cute.
It is quite possibly one of the most wholesome things I've ever seen in my life. It was
Yes,
like,
yes.
oh, these two. Like, anytime that either of them are on the screen is just like the cutest thing ever. Because I will say something that Himeko's Ribbon really, really, really excels at, it's writing characters who feel their own age.
Yes.
And so it's like Hime absolutely feels like a middle school girl. Aiko feels like a high school girl. They all feel their age. And so it's just like seeing how Shintaro and Yumeko interact is just like the sweetest thing ever. It's like when I used to work at preschools and stuff, whenever I would see like any of the kids holding hands or something, anytime that a kid makes a new friend, it's like your heart just swells. Like,
Yes.
oh, you guys, you're friends
Yes, it's so good. I love it so much. They're so cute.
It really, like, watching that episode just felt like working at the preschool and seeing the kids make friends again. It was like, oh, that's so cute.
Yes. It's friendships are so simple when you're little. It's so great.
It's always just like, oh, you like robots. I like robots. Let's be
Yes.
friends. You're wearing blue today. I'm wearing blue today. Let's be friends.
Exactly. So yeah, there's a bit of that adorable wholesomeness. There's a weird episode with UFOs, but not really.
That was. I mean, I'm always happy to see stuff with more Gori Sensei, but also it's just like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing now. It did some more Ichan too, though. And Ichan is, despite her having a very like minimal part in this series, she is such a fun character.
Yeah, I think it's interesting the two I think that, the two best friends of Himeko, who despite being best friends with her, like they don't hang out a lot in the show, not as much as Daichi.
It's like maybe in school they hang out sometimes, or there is the one episode where they were trying to prove that they were Hime's best friends.
Yeah, so There's some cute stuff with them. They don't appear as much as you might expect, but they definitely remind me of Akotan as well, and like this, like having even Sally, like having those two friends, one of them who's a little bit more dork coded, and then one of them who's a bit more pretty coded, I guess. Yeah, they kind of help to balance out Himiko as well.
Yeah, it's Ichan's like biting commentary on everything that everyone did is always just so fun. Like, she feels like a friend that I would have had back in middle school. Manami too. Manami's fun because she's very boy crazy, but then when she actually does get a crush, she's like, "Oh no, what do I do about this?"
Yes, it's interesting where it's like, what was going on before that, you know?
I think it's just like she was interested in the idea of having a crush, but then when the crush actually happened, she's like, ugh.
Yes, but also very relatable. Yes, we have some fun episodes with summer vacation. Also, yeah, an interesting episode where Himiko has accidentally made two different plans, one with her friends to go to the amusement park, no, to go to the water park, and then one with her family to go to the amusement park, which happened to be next to each other. So at first it's just like, oh, of course, I'll just use my device and all that. But then things get messy because after a while her friends are like, oh, that was fun. Let's go to the theme park next door. Yeah, it's a little silly, but a little fun. And we get to see more of Himiko's father and younger sister. So that's also
Himiko's father is really funny. He
good.
is a very fun character. The poor guy is just like, I am in a house full of girls. I don't feel like I understand how girls work, but God, I'm trying my
Yeah,
best.
and he's also always like very concerned about his daughter's dating, especially, well, obviously now Aiko has her first boyfriend, and he definitely had some feelings about that at the beginning, but he's always like very suspicious of like of Himiko talking to any boy. Yeah, but over time, yeah, the family does care about Daichi and understand like that Daichi's an important friend too.
When we get to we mentioned how Hasekura was deciding that he was going to move. I really love that whole situation, talking about like long distance relationships and letting the person that you love follow their dreams, even if it means that you have to wait for them or things like that. But the reason I bring it up is specifically because of Hime's dad talking about how he tried to stop her mom from going on a world tour.
Yes, oh, that was so interesting. Yeah, Himiko's mom, we haven't talked about her, is like this girl boss writer who just is very headstrong and stuff. Like, they're such an interesting couple because they're definitely not necessarily traditional in a lot of, you know, aspects. Like, there's still some stuff, right? But like, there's a lot of things that do kind of break the typical molds, but then they're also kind of dealing with that with their daughters as well. But like, yeah, she went on this tour around the world, and so yeah, like you said, like they're going through the fact that, yeah, Hasakura is going to move to the US, and you know, Himiko sees that her sister is very sad about it but isn't doing anything about her feelings, so she thinks it's a good idea to have Aiko stop Hasakura from going. Like her father starts to tell her a story about how he tried to stop her, but she doesn't listen to the whole story until she actually like splits her body. And then her other half, who is usually referred to as Himiko-chan, does hear the rest of the story, which is, as we hear as well, like, you know, he tried and failed to stop her. And so she did go around the world, and it turned out to be a really great experience for both of them because she would, you know, report back on all these things and send back letters and postcards and stuff. And they both were able to kind of confirm by the end of everything how much they both loved each other. And it was like, oh, this is like actually very important, not just for her, but for both of your relationship. And so she rushes to stop Himiko, regular Himiko, from stopping Hasakura from going as Aiko and all that. It was a very interesting episode. It just a very fun little backstory.
Yeah, I really loved how like he sets it up as like this super romantic thing, how he was like, oh yeah, you know, when she was going to the airport, I sped as fast as I could. I got in my car and I was going 90 miles an hour down the highway, and Himi's like, wow, Dad, you are so cool. And he's like, well, not really, because I got pulled over for speeding and I didn't make
Yeah.
it.
He is and always will be a dork. Yes.
He is so funny. He's just such a funny character.
Yeah. So that was fun and interesting, and it helps to kind of like this storyline shows, what to do again, like you said, with long distance relationships. And it's like now we know that Hasekura is going to be gone because he's following his own dream. And, Aiko is, sad, but is like happy that he's doing that. But yeah, so then we get an interesting episode where Daichi's not around because he's gone off on a little trip. And these two people come, like, Himiko disguises herself as Daichi, which she kind of does a lot, like, just for the heck of
She
it.
does it so much.
Yeah. He knows and he's like just like kind of chill about it at this point. But as she's disguises him, like two of his friends that she's never met before show up and cause this whole weird love triangle thing. It's very confusing.
It's so weird.
Yeah. But she helps them out because it's like they're clearly like into each other, but we're like kind of not clear about that, whatever.
They have like one of those whole things where it's like, okay, let's actually talk about our feelings. Let's communicate.
Yeah. So there's that. I don't have a lot to say about the episode, but it does happen, and it's interesting because it's another episode where like it's Himiko also exploring what needs to be done regarding romance, which is something that she has to kind of keep learning throughout the show. And then we get another very strange episode regarding getting a new toy.
Boy, it's strange is definitely an understatement.
Yes, because we do need to sell another toy. How do we do that? Well, we are going to create another kidnapping plot and also a stalker plot, a lot of things. So,
It's the weirdest thing. Like, the entire time this arc was going on, my eyebrows were all the way up, like past my scalp. I was like, is this really happening?
it does feel very out of nowhere, but basically, so again, Himiko's mother is a writer. She's having a party for her best seller, which is a mystery novel. That's kind of her thing. And we see like two different characters who appear throughout both of these episodes. This is 48 and 49, by the way, for anyone keeping track at home. One of them is this like kind of like nerdy guy who's also a little fat. I don't want to point that out. Who is like watching behind sunglasses during the party, and Himiko's kind of like, this guy's a little suspicious, but nothing's actually happening yet.
He's wearing his sunglasses indoors. Like, come on, man.
Yes. And then we have this guy who's like, I guess Middle Eastern. It's not clear where he's from
Yeah,
exactly.
it's not exactly clear where he's from, though. I did ask around to all my friends who spoke Arabic, and also a couple of friends just put it into like Google has one of those translate things where it automatically detects a language.
Yeah.
And so we couldn't quite decipher what language it was meant to be. We think it was supposed to be Persian.
Ah, interesting.
But regardless of which language it was, everyone I spoke to was just like, this is just nonsense.
Yeah, it definitely feels like, again, how are we going to involve, like, I don't know, a political plot, whatever. Like, obviously there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, as always with the Middle East, the Swana region, so that's why they chose this character. Again, these are like things that are not in the comic at all. These are invented
Yeah,
for
this was
selling
not
toys.
in the comic.
Whenever this stuff happens, it's like we need a new toy. How do we get the new toy sold? How do we introduce it, right? Because basically every time that there is a new item, it has been under like very severe exceptional circumstances, because the story is that she only has the ribbon.
Well, she does get some, I think she gets like another couple of items in the manga, but I don't
Okay.
remember exactly what they do, just that it's definitely not the ones that she gets in the anime.
Sure, that makes sense.
I'm not as familiar with the manga, unfortunately.
That's okay. I haven't read it at all, so I can't say. Though I will definitely enjoy reading it and checking out the reboot as well.
Yes.
So during this party, things get like really strange. A chandelier falls and it seems to have been like targeting her mom. And so like things just like feel very suspicious. And there's also like this like cryptic message that is a reference to her book. And Pocota unfortunately has to deal with the sunglasses guy showing up at the house when he's alone, and he does find a way to deal with it.
He does great. He's
Yes.
such a brave little lion.
Yes. So they do catch him in the act. He's like stealing floppy disks, which is so funny because it's so 90s.
That's so 90s.
Yeah, it's just like how to explain that like these days. But yeah, so like he's trying to get, access to the next book, the next story, using the floppy disks, and is like everyone is kind of freaking out, of course, because he's like stalking everyone and stalking her mom. And then yeah, again, we keep seeing this other guy who's apparently dealing with some sort of coup d'etat or something. He like calls the police
Yeah,
about
we
it.
gotta, like, in order to sell this new toy, we're gonna introduce children to the concept of coup d'etats.
Yeah, it's like okay.
What?
So yeah, obviously it's already like really, really weird, and this guy does try to kidnap Himeko. It doesn't work out, and then at the very end of episode 48, they find out that Yumiko's the one that has been kidnapped by this guy.
They've always got to have a kidnapping in this show.
Yes, so now it's like give up your the rest of your book, or something's gonna happen to your daughter, and it's like there's no way it's that serious. There's just no way that it's that serious. But yes, so Erika is watching this from the magic world and is like, oh my God, we need to help out Himeko. So she begs her mother to let her get a little bit more magic. So she gets her mother's heart tact, which is this heart-shaped wand that either shrinks her or lets her grow. And then she can also go use it to like go back to normal size, but she generally uses it to shrink herself or to shrink
Yeah,
others.
it's almost always just a shrink.
Yeah, but yes, it is technically possible to do the reverse. But yes, yeah, so she uses that and is able to use her new magic in order to like deal with this guy, and he gets arrested, and it just it is such a wild story to introduce
It's
this.
like the thing, like they can kind of introduce it like, oh, this stalker is like mimicking the plot of the story that I was writing, and that's why there's like the coup d'etat and blah blah blah. And then it turns out that that guy wasn't involved in the coup d'etat, and the coup d'etat was real, and this guy was just like pretending to be super awful so that he could get the plot.
Yeah.
Like, why did they have the coup d'etat in there in the first place? What is happening?
It's so much. And then it's also like, yeah, there's the whole thing where like this guy's like a mysterious floppy disk that seems to be full of like potentially dangerous political information gets switched with the floppy disk for this novel. And it's like, it's just a lot. It's so much. It's so weird. Yeah, I just like want to talk to the writers like, how, what? How did
Why did you
you?
think this was a good idea?
Yeah, such a wild time. So that happens. And then yeah, we get, that means that some of the later episodes we get some fun with mostly just Himeko shrinking herself and having adventures.
Though we did have one growing part during that where she made Pocota very big so he could
Yes.
sit on them.
Yes, that was good. And so like they're like talking about this giant lion and stuff, and they're like, and people are, okay, sure.
Whatever you say, man. Okay, guess he's a
Yeah.
giant lion.
So again, very, very wild way to introduce a new toy to kids. But yeah, we get a fun episode where Himeko is supposed to play like a fairy in a school play as a puppet, but then the puppet breaks, or she breaks the puppet, and so she has to just be the fairy herself, and then hijinks ensue.
Naturally.
Yeah. But it's very cute.
It's really fun. I think probably my favorite part with the shrinking has to be when she had to go between the floorboards and she looks over and there's a spider that's her size
Oh
and she's
gosh.
just like, "Oh God, no."
Yeah, that's interesting because that is from one of the clip show episodes where it's like the
Yes.
actual content of the episode that's new is just her in the hide secret hideout, and she's just kind of twirling around the keychain that she got from Daichi, who that has the key to the hideout, and like she's reminiscing about a lot of stuff. And it's like, yeah, again, there's like a lot of clip show episodes at the end here. But yes, the spider one episode, that moment was like, oh my God.
Like, this is terrifying for those poor
New
kids.
nightmare unlocked.
Like, I'm somebody who really loves spiders, and so I was like, "Oh, that's so cute," but like, she was so scared.
I would be too. Like, I no, thank you. I cannot. Spiders are tough for me. Just any creepy crawly, really. But yeah. And then episode 52, which is also kind of a clip show episode, we do get Himiko and Pokuta kind of dealing with the reality that, the year is coming up, which means they're going to be separated because once she loses her ribbon, then he will go back to being a regular stuffed animal. We'd already seen in previous episodes that when she takes off the ribbon, he reverts to being a stuffed animal.
Yeah, that episode made me cry.
Yes.
Pokota is just such a little darling.
He's a great little guy. That part was very sad because they are reminiscing about all their adventures together, and then they end up going to the magic world and getting explained to that, like, oh, they're not going to check on the status of the invention quite yet, even though it's been a year. So, yay, we can go back to doing more shenanigans. It's fine.
Yay!
Yeah, so that is the explanation for why this show lasts more than a year, which is okay, sure.
It's like, sure, okay, well, we get it. It's very cute because if I remember right, that was the part where they tried to come up with a technical reason, and then it turns out it's just like, no, Papa Erica is just really soft on her.
Papa Erica.
I
Yes,
couldn't remember
the
his
king of the
name.
magic world. Yes, he is. He's a softie, right?
Yeah, he has that like really gruff appearance and tries to be all serious, but then like every once in a while the queen will kind of be like, "It's just 'cause you love your daughter."
Yes. Yeah, so that's, I think it's kind of good because it's like, yeah, the only explanation to extend the show is just like you want to extend the show. You don't need an,
Yeah.
yeah, it's fine. But yeah, so that happens. We get an interesting episode where Himiko tries writing for the first time. She wants to write a new play for the school, because she's in the acting club, and it's a very interesting little thing about her trying to understand how to write, and I thought that was really cute.
That was such a cute episode. And then, like, her saying that she wanted to write a love story, but also, like, how do I write a love story? And trying to figure out, like, her own experiences. And I think that was the episode where she starts to realize, like, oh, I have a crush on Daichi. Oh, shoot.
Which is helpful because in the next episode, well, we get this like two episode thing with Manami being more of the focus. And the first one is interesting because Manami is in the cooking club, I guess. And so she
Yes.
makes some curry, and all the boys all the boys in the kendo club decide to eat the curry because like she's popular with boys. Like it's
She's
very clear.
very
Yeah.
popular.
So they're like, oh yeah, we definitely want to try your cooking. And then the next day she hears that like all the boys in the kendo club except for one are like violently ill because of something they ate together. And she's like, oh my God, what did I do? I have to take responsibility for this. So she decides to temporarily join the kendo club to help them with their upcoming tournament. And so Himiko and Ichan also help, as well as Daichi. And it's like, it's very good. And then, of course, there's also a school play at the same time. So Himiko has to deal with, trying to go back and forth between that. And it's very stressful, but it works out. And it's like they don't win, but they all tried very hard.
And that's the important part.
Yes. And so after that, Manami realizes that she has a crush on the kendo club boy, and that like becomes Himiko helping out her with trying to explore her feelings and all of that. It's very cute.
It's super cute. Like, I think a lot of us knew someone like Manami growing up who like was really in love with the idea of being in love, but then like when they actually fell in love, they didn't know what to do and it was overwhelming for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and her relationship with the kendo guy is very sweet. And Hime trying, like, when Hime starts to understand that she has a crush on Daichi, she does try to apply some of the things that she thinks would be helpful for her to Manami. And Manami is obviously not super appreciative about that because what Manami wants isn't what Hime wants.
Yeah, exactly.
And part of the beauty of Hime-chan's ribbon is really like learning about who you are as a person and learning to love yourself as a person and blah, 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 blah. And so I felt like that was a really strong thing where it was like, yes, this would have been good if it was you, Hime, but it's not good because Manami isn't you.
Yeah, exactly. So that was nice. Then we get a few more clip show episodes.
There's so many clip show episodes.
And then we get an interesting time travel episode.
That one is from the manga. I do remember
Okay,
that.
that's interesting.
It happened way earlier though, because in the manga, when she goes to the Magic Kingdom the first time, that's when she goes to the future.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But like the anime, I read on the Japanese Pixiv like dictionary,
Okay.
which, you know, take with a grain of salt, it may or may not be true.
Sure.
We know for sure that one of the reasons why they had some of these kinds of episodes is because they needed to fill time while they waited for the manga to catch up. But also, the director and the writer and all the people involved were really, really, really wanting to make sure that everything kept within the spirit of the manga. So I feel like the reason why they waited all this time to do the future stuff is because they're like, okay, we're going to take some of the stories that happen later in the manga and kind of like flip-flop them. So we have the future episode as like a really strong ending. Well, not necessarily ending, but ending, quote unquote.
Yeah, near the end, for sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And I think that it has more impact because it's near the end. So, yeah, so she gets access to this clock that can send her to the future. And so she goes 3 years into the future. She gets to see herself in high school. But at first, she just kind of is like running around trying to see and find everyone and see what's up with everyone. She gets to, well, technically, kind of see her sister Aiko, who is now in college, and that's very exciting. And then when she's in her own room, she sees this like note that's like, oh, today's the day. And she over time realizes that it is actually that day and that she has to go to this park at this time. And so she rushes to do that, and she wonders like, oh, who am I going to meet in the future at this time? And she first gets to see older Daichi. And that was very cute. And then she turns around and sees herself in the future. But yeah, it's a very moving kind of thing to see. Like, just, it's not really a lot of the future. It's not one of those things where she gets to learn like a million things about what happens. It's very, matter of fact that like she shouldn't know what the future
Yeah.
holds, because that's part of what's exciting about the future is that you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it was this very sweet thing where Daichi and herself tell her, like, I don't want to tell you how things are going to turn out because you're going to be a lot happier finding out for yourself. It's very sweet because then, like, later on, she remembers Daichi told me this in the future.
Yes. And so she also realizes that, like, that note that she had left was actually to remind herself to go meet her younger self, which is very cute and, like, a nice way to kind of explain the time travel stuff, because you know how that can be hazy.
Yeah.
So that means she also has that to look forward to in the future. But yeah, so that was cute. That was interesting. Not a lot of future stuff, but like just a little taste.
Yeah, it was they did have some of that in the manga where something that she does note is she's like, wow, look at how beautiful I am. Look at how feminine I am and blah, blah, blah. And Hime, in response, looks at her younger self and is like, oh my god, I was so adorable. Which, once again, is like tying into that overarching theme of the whole thing about Hime learning to love herself for who she is.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, you know, oh, I want to be like this. I want to be more like this. It's not like any version of herself is bad. It's just she needs to learn to love herself.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So yeah, and that was very cute. And then we get to the next episode, which is an interesting one because it starts like kind of normal. And then, like, you know, Himeko is realizing that, you know, the time limit is coming up. So she's going to have to say goodbye to everyone soon. And the other thing is that, like, not only will the ribbon be taken away from her, you know, and brought back to the magic world, but like her memories of this year related to magic will all be erased, which is hard to imagine because that was a lot of magic. Like, she used a lot of magic.
That's so much magic.
Yeah. So that is, you know, that is something she's worried about. Also, you know, saying goodbye to Pokuta in a way. So she's dealing with all of those feelings. But also, she gets the news because Yumiko and Shintaro run away. Or they try to run away in a way that little kids.
Because they're little kids. They can't actually
run away to the
it.
Park. They're barely away from the house. Daichi and Himeko do find them and bring them back. And Himeko's trying to figure out why they tried to run away. And Yumiko won't tell her because it's like a secret between her and Shintaro. And then, you know, it she does find out from sneaking around the police station where Daichi's father works.
Like, why don't you just talk to Daichi? Just ask.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely being secretive about it. So that's fair. Like, he was not really excited to share the news anyway, but it turns out that they're going to be moving away. Yeah, because he's getting transferred, right? His father. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's like obviously devastating. She's already dealing with a lot of like upcoming loss. And suddenly finding out that, like, Daichi, this guy who's so important to her, that is like her closest friend, is also leaving, is like just devastating. And she's very upset. Mostly she's upset that, like, Daichi didn't tell her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's like, you kind of understand why he didn't. Mm-hmm. He's a kid. They're all kids.
Yes. Yeah, so we find out in the second episode or the next episode that, like, yeah, you know, Daichi is going to move away someplace, not like super, super far, but like far enough that it is a little out of the way. Like, so yeah. We see like Hikaru has gone through finding out exactly how to, what would it take to travel there? And it would take like 2 hours. So it's like not really feasible, especially if you're a kid, to travel that far.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But yeah, the whole episode, episode 60, Himeko is trying to figure out how to get the courage to finally confess her feelings to Daichi before he leaves. And she doesn't quite make it.
Yeah, she keeps trying. She gives it a good college try.
Yeah. So it's even up until the day that, like, they're driving away, she does finally try to shout at him that she loves him. But he can't hear her because yep. He's in the car. And so, you know, it's still like kind of cathartic for her because she did say the thing, even though he couldn't hear her. But yeah, it was like a really just a tough thing. But at the very end, we see that actually he's still going to go to the same school. He has figured out a way. It's a very long commute, but he has figured out a way to commute to the school so that he can still attend, even though he is now moved quite far away.
He's such a strange little child.
Yes.
He's such a strange child.
Yeah, I think it's just like a kind of a writing way to kind of close up everything and make it okay just before, first of all, the last episode being a non-finale. Mm-hmm. I know that. But yes, so, you know, meanwhile, Erica has been trying to figure out what's going to happen to Himeko this whole time. And she is able to convince her father to allow Himeko to keep her memories and also keep Pokuta. And she just can't use the ribbon's magic anymore, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, nice and Everything's okay. And then we get the
It's,
weirdest last episode
I
ever,
was gonna
but yes.
say, like, legitimately not being able to use magic, that's fine. If I had to say goodbye to Pocota, it would be over. There's like, I cannot say goodbye to Pocota. I love him
Yes.
so much.
He's so
He
good.
is such, he's such a sweetheart. And I love, like, one of the changes that they do for the second half is, like, during the episode previews, they let Pocota do Hime's little, like, Ike, Ike, go, jump!
Yes.
It's
Yes. Yeah, he's so good. So, yeah, no, there, I can't say anything else except I love Pokuda so much. He's so good. But
He's
yes.
so good. Like, he's probably one of my favorite magical girl mascots ever. He's so cute.
Yes. So yeah, the last episode of the show is so wild because it's like so random.
It feels like a bonus episode that you would get for pre-ordering something, you know? Like, it doesn't feel like the last episode.
Yeah, totally. Like episode 60 kind of concludes the show, but then 61 requires the context of the final episode. But it just feels also like it could be a random episode in the middle of the show as well. So I don't know. Like,
It's
but
just very weird.
yeah. So they're having a big party to celebrate the success of the ribbon invention for Princess Erica. So that means that Himiko and Daichi are going to be allowed to come to the magic world again. It'll be Daichi's first time in the magic world, but it's very exciting. And so they're getting all dressed up. And then Hikaru is also on the way to get dressed up for another party, and she sees Daichi and is like, "What's going on with my Daichi? I gotta go investigate."
Because she's weird.
She's very, very focused on Daichi. It's, I mean, sure, but
Like, respect, but also like a little creepy.
yeah. So she runs over, and she also sees Sei, who she recognizes as a former classmate who has since moved away. He is taking them away on this like flying like a carriage or whatever. And so at the very, very last second, Hikaru also takes a hold of the carriage and is able to travel to the magic world with them and is like, "What is happening? What is this?" It's a lot for her, but she is happy to take it in. She knows Camille from when he was going around being ridiculous and all that stuff. So she does interact with him and reveals herself. And in the magic world, Camille and Robelia, who is the Hikaru of this world, of the magic world, are dating. And she has like the opposite personality of Hikaru. But
She's so refined.
yes. She definitely is everything that like Hikaru thinks she is, right? But
Yes.
so Hikaru goes around. She's kind of figuring out magic stuff and learning stuff from Camille and is ready and excited to try out this magic wish situation that's about to happen. And so she grabs the ribbon for herself, throws it in to this fountain where you're supposed to make a wish, and she wishes to marry Daichi, which,
Because of
okay,
course, like,
yeah.
all right.
It's one of those things where it's like, it feels like the wish was about the future, but because of Japanese and like future tense and present tense being kind of the same, it becomes an immediate thing where it's like the wedding is happening right now. And
So goofy.
yeah, and only a few characters, including Himiko and Daichi, actually experience that like everyone else around them is like getting like magicked into believing this wedding is happening. And Daichi is not about it. Himiko is definitely not about it. So she goes on her own adventure to stop this wedding. In particular, like going on this adventure with like the great former king of the magic world, who is the inventor of Chappie the Broom. And yeah, it's a weird little story.
Chappie is such a fun little character. Like, her voice actress, I don't think is human, the sounds that came out of her mouth. Like,
Well,
her
yeah.
voice is so high pitched.
Yes. In the beginning of the show, it's not that high pitched, but by the time that like Erica's passed the exam, it's helium all the way. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, just like
Yeah. It's like, oh man, that it hurts my throat to even think about making those sounds.
Like, how do you do it?
Voice actors, man, they're amazing. But yeah, so yes, Chappie the Broom is there as well for this adventure, but she's supposed to like get this particular special magic vase, but breaks it while saving Erica's grandfather. And yeah, it's just like this weird thing, but it's like, okay, her constant need to help others in front of like doing anything for herself is part of what makes her so good. And so everything does get fixed after all, so it's fine. But it's like, yeah, it was just a weird episode, such a weird episode. And then at the very end, Daichi and Himiko get a little dance.
Yeah, they get a cute little dance. But again, like, it's just one of those episodes where I kind of finished it like, well, why did that happen? Like, we had a pretty good ending, but what happened?
Yeah, they just wanted to do one more, I guess. Just one more. But it was fun. So do you have any other like final thoughts about the show as a whole?
Honestly, there's so much about this show that feels so, it's like very heartfelt. It's a very, oh gosh, how do I want to say it? Like, it feels very real. It feels like a day in the life of Hime, where like you feel like you know all these characters in real life, as opposed to just like you're watching a show about them. It's a very down-to-earth kind of series. And honestly, I think it's something that it reminds me very slightly of like a more down-to-earth Ojamajo Doremi, in kind of the way that it's like, okay, we are experiencing their life, and their life just happens to have magic in it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a very common thing, especially in earlier Magical Girl series, where it's like there is magic going around, but most of the story itself is just like regular life stuff.
Yeah, it's so cute.
Yeah, it definitely feels like, and goodness, I cannot imagine what it was like at the time to watch this while it was airing.
Oh my God, the coup d'etat episode.
Like to be in this world with this great girl for a year and change is like it just feels like that must have been such a fun time. Like, wow, let's go watch the show about the girl and her ribbon and her little friends. Yeah, it's just like very cute and sweet, and you can definitely like go back to and like rewatch most episodes in like basically any order now that you finish them, and it's like it'll be fun to revisit someday.
I definitely think that even though some of those items were not in the manga, the people that worked on making the toys, it certainly worked on me in my 30s. So it's like, okay, well, if it worked on me in my 30s, then you know all the little kids are like, I
Yes. Oh goodness.
want
I have not looked up what any of these cost now, so that'll be
Oh,
interesting.
God. I managed to get my hand on a little Pocota that they released for the anniversary, and he's one of my proudest purchases. But yeah, I have not seen any of like the marketable items on sale yet, but I'm like cringing right now thinking about how much it's probably going to cost if I wanted to get my hands on that little heart wand.
There's all kinds of toys, of course, but let's see. I mean, they look great, right? The text and
They look
everything.
amazing. And like I mentioned before, it's like you can definitely tell, like, yeah, that's just supposed to be a toy. It makes a little the exact same sound that you would expect to hear when you press the button on a little toy, like
Absolutely, absolutely.
every time she pressed it, I know, like, just thinking back to when I was a kid, when I had things like the Sailor Moon wands and stuff, I know that I would try and use it every time I was watching the TV and she used it at the same time. So
Absolutely.
it's like, I know I would have been driving my parents crazy with that.
Yes, for sure. It's interesting because it is a big show from the time, but I don't know if like there's a higher resale value because it really depends. But yeah, it should be interesting to find these things. There's like just a lot of little stuff that I cannot wait to to get into with this show, like all behind the scenes stuff, etc. But it was so fun to watch the whole thing, and I'm gonna miss it a lot. I'm gonna miss not having new episodes, so I'm gonna try to see what I can find of the musical. We'll see what happens
If you can get your hands on the musical, I want to hear all about it.
there.
Oh my God, I would do anything just to see like a little Pocota plushie singing. Oh my God.
Yeah, just for clarification, because there's like there are technically three musicals, like three different stories. They air from three different across 3 different weeks, or they did them across 3 different weeks. They stars map.
Because of course.
It's like okay. So yeah, I don't know if that's part of why there's no, I don't know, but we'll see if I can find anything of them. Definitely looking forward to further investigations. But yeah, so I think we are ready to wind down here. So we're at to the final question, which is, what do you hope to see next in your own Magical Girl adventures?
So Crunchyroll has released Minky Momo, so I am going to be watching
Yay.
that. I am so excited. We're finally getting like places like Discotech and like Crunchyroll and Retro Crush and places like that are like finally starting to like fill out the Magical Girl catalog. Because we've been in this desert of Magical Girl stuff in the English speaking world. And if you speak Japanese, you can still access a lot of this stuff. But if you don't speak Japanese, it's kind of like, okay, well, how do I watch all this really cool stuff that's out there? So yes, I'm gonna be watching Minky Momo on Crunchyroll. I'm so excited.
Yay.
After that, it's kind of like on the fence whether it counts or not, but I am gonna be watching Review Starlight. I would say it counts to some degree.
I have not watched enough to have a comment on it, but yeah.
I feel like if Utena counts, then Review Starlight would count.
That's fair.
But that's also controversial. Don't
Yes.
at me about this.
Yeah,
I don't want to have a discussion about what does and doesn't constitute a magical girl. I'm just going to be firm in this.
sure.
I'm planning on finishing Nanoha. So I have Strikers and some other. Oh, there's so many Nanohas, but I have that to finish. I'm also finally going to start on my Prepara journey soon.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, like I watched Pretty Rhythm way back in the day, and I really liked that. I like the ice skating stuff, but ever since I first started seeing the designs for Prepara and Kirato Puri-chan and stuff like that, those character designs speak to me. They are so colorful and so bright and so cute that I've always wanted to watch it, but I just never got around to it. So I'm finally going to start on that.
Yeah, sounds good. I need to get on that as well. I have been, working on this idol podcast. So for that reason, I've kind of been like holding off on watching stuff that I haven't watched yet in the idol genre. So I do need to get, like that is next technically on the list because I have finished all the stuff up to Prepara. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it when I get around to it.
It looks amazing. Also, I did start reading Magical Girl Raising Project, like the light novels for it, and the anime for the second arc is coming out soon. So I'm like crossing my fingers that that turns out okay. I'm really hoping because the light novels, the second arc is probably my favorite of all of the different arcs in Magical Girl Raising Project. So if they do it right, then everything will be great.
Yes, sounds good. Okay, so yeah, thank you again for coming on the podcast. Where can people find you and follow you online to talk about Hime-chan's Ruben and other magical girls?
You can find me on Blue Sky at Sasha Lalabelle. I mostly just post pictures of my cats and repost like other people's, well, not repost, what is it?
I think it is also repost on Blue Sky.
Is it repost? Yeah, so I just like reblog, repost, whatever it is. I signal boost other people's magical girl fan art.
Yes.
And you can also find me in the Sparkleside Chats Discord server.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, thank you again for coming on, and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. You as well. Just for funsies, we should end with an ike ike go go jump.
I worry about the timing. Because you're not. All good. Yeah. Well, if it doesn't line up, I'll try my best in post in editing.
Yeah, it's all good. If it doesn't make it in, it's all good. Okay. I just figure it's a Human Chance Ribbon podcast. You gotta end with that.
Sure. Okay. Great.
Ike, ike, go, 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 jump!
Wow, yours is a lot better. Yours no. has more pukota flavor to it.
It's the old voice acting stuff that I used to do as a kid.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sparkleside Chats with Magical Girl Ayu. Now, whether it was your first or final time listening, we really appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to find more episodes of the podcast, you can do so over on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts. When you're over there, be sure to leave a rating and review as it helps out this little show so much. If you can support the podcast financially, you can find me over on Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/ayushinows, which is AYUSHEKNOWS. You can either pledge monthly or leave a one-time donation. Either way, it will grant you access to all the bonus episodes of the podcast, more of which are to come soon. If you want to find me on the socials, I'm over on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky as AyuSheKnows. Again, that's AyuSheKNOWS. And you can find the podcast at Magical Girl Ayu. That's Magical Girl AYU. Thanks again for listening. And remember, you are magical forever and always. Goodbye.